You are indeed with The Lifestyle Show, and there are questions that one often has to ask in life. Well, there's a way now that you can actually find the answer. It's called the question box, and it helps provide the answers and gives easy access to information in areas with illiteracy, language, and technical barriers. What is the question box? Well, on the line, all the way from Santa Monica in the United States, Rose Schumann, the CEO and founder of the project Question Box. Rose, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. It's such a pleasure to be here.
We're delighted to have you here as well. Rose, tell us exactly what is Question Box?
Sure. Well, Question Box originally was exactly what it sounds like. I had an idea in about 2006, 2007, and it was like, you know, why can't the internet be accessible to everyone, even if there isn't literacy or even if you can't read a language that's present on the internet? And I thought, well, how do you make it so grandma could use it? And I thought, well, what if you just put a metal box up on the wall in a village, for example, and put a big button on it and had it have a telephone that connected to someone that spoke the local language but was also in front of a computer connected to the internet? And that became the question box. It was really simple. It was you just push a button and you talk, and you don't even have to know what the internet is or what computers are or how to use one. But if you know how to talk and you know how to listen, then one person in a bit more urban area can serve thousands of people in rural villages with information and the internet. So that's how it all began, was really the idea that people all over the world really have burning questions and not so burning questions that they want to answer every day. And why can't there be an easy way for them to get access to that information?
Rose, I understand that you started it in around about 2006, and you've now spread to quite a few countries around the world.
Yeah, no, we started out in India, and then we moved to a couple of different regions in India, and then we had an invitation, thanks to Grameen Foundation in Uganda, to spread the concept to the African subcontinent. And what we actually ended up doing in Uganda was a little bit different, in which, because people were a bit more rural, we trained about 40 different people how to use just a basic mobile phone, make phone calls, and we turned them into the question boxes. So we gave them each a bright yellow T-shirt, and we put a telephone on it, and we said, ask me. And what they did was they circulated throughout their communities and basically became the information point of contact for their entire rural village, because all the phone calls would go into Kampala, the capital, and bit by bit, information from the capital would just migrate its way out to rural populations just through using a simple telephone.
Now, Rose, you need a certain amount of hardware to create something like this. And I wondered, first of all, what is that hardware and who's covering the costs?
Sure. So there's a lot of different ways that one can do question box these days. And I'm really glad you asked that question, because it leads into a really exciting thing that we're going to be launching in just a couple of short months, which is the idea that a question box fundamentally is really a hotline. And we've been thinking about, why can't any local community organization run their own hotline? Because they already have information that people want to know in the communities. And right now, people either have to come to them or they have to send field officers out into the villages and to the slums and other areas. So if that person isn't there, if there isn't a human connection in person, information doesn't get passed. And we thought, you know, we've learned so much with Question Box, and we want to teach organizations all around the world how to do exactly what we did. So for some people, the right answer is hardware, and you can buy a Question Box and put them up on the wall. And for some people, it's doing what we did in Uganda, which is giving them T-shirts and telephones. And in other places, it's really just advertising what the phone number is. But either way, it's all a mechanism to get somebody to get in contact with someone who speaks their language and is respectful and can tell them exactly what they need to know without a whole bunch of pesky infrastructure that you need to set up, because it's really quite simple.
Rose, of course, that leads to the question of the kind of person that is answering the questions, because there may be questions that come in that are easy to answer, but there may be questions which are a lot more difficult. They may be more philosophical. They may be more emotionally based. How are you choosing the people who are answering those questions?
That's a great question. And first of all, you need people who are empathetic, obviously. I mean, besides language ability, you have to be bilingual and a bit bicultural because you're bilingual. But you have to be a good listener, and you have to also really understand what the purpose of the hotline is. So one thing that we advise is sticking to fact-based questions for precisely that reason. We got a lot of philosophical questions. I mean, really interesting ones like, why is the G8 harder on African countries than on the Middle East, for example? And that's a huge question. We got that from rural Uganda. And how do you even begin to answer that? And so a big part of the training that we do is helping the people who answer the phone understand what's a fact question and what's an opinion question. And if it's an opinion, we have to respectfully say that we can't answer that question because there isn't one single answer for it, because otherwise you can get into all sorts of speculative territory.
So if someone phones up and says, you know, I need to know something personal, then the answer would be absolutely not, can't go that route, which of course then does lead to the opportunity, I suppose, for other kinds of question boxes. I mean, one starts to think, well, maybe there could be a question box which has a psychologist. Maybe, do you know what I mean? It starts to open up this world of what people require and need and don't have access to, particularly in rural areas.
Absolutely. And that's why, I mean, we've decided that the best way for us to be helpful and useful is actually to teach community organizations how to do this. Because exactly as you say, I mean, if there's a wonderful psychological-based organization that's already doing counseling, why is it that they can't extend their services and probably bring in more volunteers and more counselors on board because they don't have to physically travel if they could just be running a simple hotline? And that's something we welcome. I mean, because the idea is that we want to open it up to people's creativity and observing gaps and needs and opportunities that we would never know about and probably aren't in the best position to answer, but they are. And what we do is we just teach them how to run a simple hotline, and they can go and run with it.
Rose, I've got one more question for you, which is this idea of the one-step design philosophy, which is absolutely amazing. And you've kind of mentioned the idea of it, but perhaps you could just elaborate on that a little further.
Sure. Well, thanks for bringing that up. The one-step design philosophy, now I have to give full explanation, but I'm not a designer, so perhaps all the officially trained formal designers will throw tomatoes at me, but this is one person speaking an opinion, but a lot of people seem to bring this up, so maybe there's something there. The idea of one-step design is starting from the user's world and thinking, okay, whatever it is you want to do, be it a product, be it a service, be it a change you want to make in society, and you need the participation of people to make this happen or get your product used, you have to really start not from the product you want to make or the service you want to make, but more from what does their world actually look like right now, and how can your initiative or effort only make them change one thing that they're doing currently? Not two, not three, not four, but one thing. Because what often happens is you ask people to do multiple steps. I'll give you an example, which is, say, learning how to use the Internet, and you lose everybody. And so the question box was built with the idea of a one-step design of they're only changing one thing. They push a button, and everything else is the same that they've already done. They're already talking, they're speaking in their own languages. They don't have to learn any new technology other than button pushing. They're already familiar with a telephone. So it doesn't really feel like they're doing anything radically different, even though actually talking to somebody with a, you know, huge knowledge base that they never have access to is a wildly different thing than anything they've ever done. But by making it seem rather familiar and intuitive, people can take it up and not feel dumb, basically. Versus, say, if you tried to learn the Internet, you'd have to learn how to read. You'd have to then learn how to read a mainstream language. You then have to have electricity, and then you need access to a computer, and you need to then learn how to use the computer. Then you need to learn how to get online, which means you need access to the Internet, and then finally something really great might happen. So there's so many steps there that most people are going to fall off pretty early on. So the basic idea of one-step design is you have to start from the brutally small, specific spot of where your users are and try to make it so that they don't even realize you've done anything all that different.
Rose, thanks very much. I've got one burning question for you, and
all right.
And it is this. When was the last time you did a handstand?
probably 2 weeks ago, actually, if you really want to know.
2 weeks ago?
I think so. Yeah, probably against a wall. I was having a great day, and I think I probably kicked my heels up and did a handstand.
Rose Schumann, thank you very much for joining us. That's the founder and CEO of a project called Open Mind, which features another project, Question Box. We like it a lot.